From WKAR's Studio S at Michigan State University, this is Current Sports.
What is up, beautiful people? You are now locked into WKAR's Current Sports. I am your host, Al Martin, on this Thursday, February 18th, 2016. So honored that Current Sports is being a part of your, of course, weekday afternoon. We've got a steaming hot show in store for all of you today. Of course, today marks the day that the Detroit Tigers are reporting, pitchers and catchers at least, out in Lakeland, Florida for spring training. We will give you guys a Detroit Tigers spring preview. You don't want to miss that. We will also preview tonight's men's basketball action as the Michigan State men's basketball team will play host to the Wisconsin Badgers. Find out how you will have the chance to win a pair of tickets to check out that matchup tonight. Tip-off is at 9 p.m. Again, we will give away a pair of tickets. You want to find out how you can win those in just a sec. We will also talk with Eric Doc Love, high school sports commentator for the team, 92.1 FM. Doc will give us a rundown of the entire boys high school hoop scene from here in mid-Michigan. And we will also, on the back end of our show, of course, bring to you Throwback Thursday, what exactly happened on this particular date in sports history, and 2 minutes for Roughing with Jason Ruff. But hey, you know what's next. Here are your Current Sports quick hit headliners again for this February 18th. All right, tonight, the MSU men's basketball team will play host to the Wisconsin Badgers at the Breslin Center. Badgers, they currently sit in fourth in the Big Ten with an 8-4 conference record. The eighth-ranked Spartans are in a three-way tie with number 17 Purdue and Ohio State with a 9-5 conference record. The last time the Spartans and Badgers met, it was up in Madison, resulting in a 77-76 dub for the home squad. MSU would love to even the score here in EL and put themselves into the championship conversation as we head down the stretch run late. Should be a fun game tonight. Again, we will give away a pair of tickets right here live on our airways. Find out how you can win in just a second. Also, the Michigan State women's basketball team will take the hardwood tonight on the road, taking on Rutgers out in New Jersey at 7 p.m. The Spartans will be looking to break out of a tough stretch, having lost three of their last four games. MSU is currently tied with Indiana in the Big Ten standing, sitting at fourth place. If the Spartans finish in the top four, in the conference, they get a bye for the first two games of the Big Ten tournament. It was not a good night for the top five of the college men's basketball world, and what could only be described as a night of chaos. Three of the top five teams fell to squads that were ranked 20 or below. Texas Tech upset number 3 Oklahoma 66-63. It was the Raiders' third straight victory over ranked opponents, the first time that has happened in that school's history. Number 20 Duke knocked off number 5 UNC by a score of 74-73. 1 point, folks. I don't think that was the type of celebration UNC wanted to have on Michael Jordan's birthday. And happy birthday, MJ, turning 53 yesterday. And, of course, Penn State, who took down number 4 Iowa at Jordan Center in Happy Valley, 79-74. Students stormed the court. It was a sight to see. It also shifts up the Big Ten standings as well. It was just the fourth time in the last 20 years that three top five teams all lost on the same day. And baseball fans rejoice. Pitchers and catchers report for spring training all across the league. Baseball is back. Again, we'll have more on the Tigers in just a second. And the Detroit Red Wings announced details today for Nicholas Lidstrom Night, which will be celebrated on Tuesday when the Wings play host to the Blue Jackets at 7:30 p.m. Lidstrom will participate in a ceremonial puck drop before the game. Several in-game tribute videos will be shown throughout the game, including his Hall of Fame speech. All fans in attendance will receive a Lidstrom collectible print. Very cool stuff there. Big news from the Detroit Pistons. Just breaking literally about 10 or 15 minutes ago, the Houston Rockets traded power forward Dontis Mantachunas and small forward Marcus Thornton to the Detroit Pistons in exchange for a projected 2016 first-round pick and Joel Anthony. Now, the pick is top 8 projected in 2016 and top 10 in 2017 and 2018, according to ESPN's Tom Haberstroh. Now, the Rockets were willing to let Mantachunas go despite being high on his abilities as a passer and being able to hit mid-range jumpers. Thornton was acquired in the offseason as a jump shooter who provides instant offense. After not playing in the first two games of the season, Thornton was inserted and helped the Rockets on the offensive end, averaging 10 points on the year. For the second time this season, the Flint Firebirds have fired head coach John Gruden and assistant Dave Karpa. Now, Gruden and Karpa were fired for the first time in November, then quickly rehired after all of the players protested the decision. If you remember, we had Ryan Slocum of ABC 12 out in Flint to recap that story. Now, Wings assistant GM Ryan Martin said that Wings prospective Vili Saravani, I think I said that right, all right, will continue to play for the Flint Firebirds this season despite the coaching change. These hockey names always throw me off. All right, according to a report from NFL insider Ian Rappaport, the Dallas Cowboys are hiring Michigan secondary coach Greg Jackson. Jackson was the only 49ers assistant coach to join Harbaugh when he left for Michigan coaching for the 49ers from 2011 to 2014. And last but not least, Michigan State University will pay ESPN a portion of its cost for a lawsuit over the release of police reports where student athletes' names were published. Now, ESPN requested more than $90,000 in attorney's fees, costs, and Freedom of Information Act fees incurred over its 15-month-long public records fight with the university. That wraps up your current sports quick hit headliners. Call in to be a part of the show, 517-355-9527, 517-355-9527. Without further ado, let the show begin. Welcome to WKAR's Current Sports. I am your host, Al Martin. Welcome, welcome, welcome to the show. Happy, happy Thursday. Ladies and gents, boys and girls, it is a very busy day here this afternoon on the show. A lot of news taking place. Most recently, news out of the wheelhouse of the Detroit Pistons. Folks, again, if you haven't heard, if you tuned in late and didn't catch it in our quick hit headliners, the Houston Rockets, they traded power forward Dontis Mantachunas and small forward Marcus Thornton to the Detroit Pistons in exchange for a projected 2016 first-round pick and Joel Anthony. This occurred at 12:49 p.m., literally 10 minutes before we took the airwaves here on the show. The Rockets willing to let Mantachunas go despite being high on his abilities as a passer and being able to hit down the mid-range jumper. Highly regarded player for the Rockets before suffering, I believe, a back injury late last year. He encountered numerous setbacks during his recovery from back surgery and was limited to 14 games this year, averaging a little over 5 points. Thornton, he was acquired in the offseason as a jump shooter who provides instant offense, as I stated. After not playing in the first two games of the year, Thornton was inserted and helped the Rockets on the offensive end, averaging 10 points this year. However, his minutes fluctuated when the Rockets wanted more defensive players on the floor because we do know that the Rockets do not play any defense. Anthony has seen limited action for the Pistons this year, averaging, what, a little over one rebound per game and not even 1 point per game. So Stan Van Gundy wasting no time in letting it be known that he is establishing a core of players a core of young players, I should say, that he wants for the long term. And I think it's genius. I think that Stan Van Gundy right now, the Pistons are really the only team that has been really making a lot of headway. You know, with the trade deadline looming here, I think we're now under two hours, when it comes to the trade deadline. It ends today at 3 p.m. So the Pistons making yet another move. We talked about the acquisition of Tobias Harris earlier in the week. The Pistons, the first team to make a splash in the realm of free agency. Thought that was a fantastic pickup. And you look at that starting five. I say that this when the Pistons made that move. I mean, you talk about Tobias Harris, Andre Drummond. Then you throw in, you know, Marcus Morris. And then you have KCP and Reggie Jackson in your backcourt. Absolutely love it. I mean, that's a fantastic starting lineup there. And now you add Thornton. And now you add Matsuchunas. I see where Stan Van is going for here. He's looking for long-term success and turning a lot of heads. A lot of heads this week before the trade deadline, again, ends at 3 p.m. Call in, folks, to be a part of today's show, 517-355-9527, 517-355-9527. Of course, today is Michigan State men's basketball action. Tonight at 9 p.m., the Spartans will play host to the Wisconsin Badgers, a really hot Badgers team, folks. They have actually won 7 straight. And you know what sparked this winning streak for this team? Well, it was back when they beat Michigan State 7 games ago. How about that? Again, that 1-point win, 77-76, a dramatic victory for Wisconsin over Michigan State. Again, Denzel Valentine had a pretty good look in the waning moments of that game. Clanks off the iron, and the Badgers win. It will be, another interesting matchup tonight, one I think that will be very, very close. And we're giving away tickets. We are giving away tickets to tonight's game. If you want to win tickets to tonight's Michigan State and Wisconsin game, again, we are opening up our phone lines right now, but we make you earn them here on today's show. So the trivia question we are proposing right now is, what is the name of the Wisconsin coach that has taken over for Bo Ryan, who, of course, retired midseason? The first caller to call in with that name will win a pair of tickets to check out the Spartans and the Badgers tonight at the Breslin Center. Again, that trivia question is, what is the name of the Wisconsin coach that has taken over for Bo Ryan, who retired midseason? 517-355-9527, 517-355-9527. While you guys are calling in, I want to invite right now the man behind the glass, our fantastic engineer of WKAR's Current Sports, Isaac Constance. Isaac, what do you think of this move made by the Pistons?
Well, unfortunately, as often happens, these two do conflict calling in. So let me get to my responsibilities first, then I'll give you my answer.
Yes, we have a caller right now that I guess wants to win those tickets. Isaac will handle that, but we will certainly get his thoughts on that move. But moving forward, again, today is a big day if you are a Detroit Tigers fan, because pitchers and catchers have reported. Yes, the Detroit Tigers are now embarking on spring training, and this year marks actually the Tigers' 80th season in Lakeland, extending the longest-lasting relationship between a Major League Baseball team and a current spring training host city. How cool is that? Now, the Tigers began coming to Lakeland for spring training back in 1934 and have been coming back each year ever since. And also, this year's spring season also marks the club's 51st consecutive season of exhibition play at Joker Marchant Stadium in Tigertown. Now, Tigertown is the spring training headquarters for the Detroit Tigers and the regular season home of its minor league farm team in the Class A, that being the Florida State League, the Lakeland Flying Tigers. Tigertown is owned and operated by the City of Lakeland. The City of Lakeland's Parks and Recreation Department is responsible for maintaining the facility. So pretty cool. I mean, this is a place that dates back a home during spring training for the Detroit Tigers since 1934. That is a long-lasting relationship, to say the least, folks, okay? So I'm seeing here in our rundown now, let's give away these tickets right now, shall we, before we move on and talk about the Tigers and get Isaac Stoss on the Detroit Pistons. Again, the number to call is 517-355-9527. And let's go to line one right now. We have Vincent from Grand Rapids, excuse me, on line one. Vincent, how you doing, brother?
I'm doing great. How are you, Al?
I am doing fantastic. So you know what, Vincent? I'm going to give you the trivia question. You come up with the answer, okay? Here it is again. What is the name of the Wisconsin coach that has taken over for Bo Ryan for Wisconsin, again, who retired midseason? Do you got the answer?
Yeah, I think it has to be Greg Gard.
That is correct, my man. Those tickets are yours. We'll be sure to leave them at will call for you.
All right.
My man, Vincent. Gotta love Vincent. Great listener of the show. Appreciate that. And I think we had another caller, Isaac, as well. James from Lansing.
Correct, yeah. So James was right next in line if Vincent got it wrong. But no mistake, no flub there from James. Or Vincent, rather. So good call.
Good call. All right, James, we really appreciate you listening and calling in and trying to win those tickets. I tell you, you got to be quick to the draw, right? We will definitely get Vincent's contact information and hand those tickets to him after the show. But you can still call in and be a part of the show, engage in any discussion that we have here on our airways, 517-355-9527. I guess right now, Isaac, we can get your thoughts on that Pistons trade really briefly.
More than happy to. I think it's a fantastic move for the Pistons. You know that I like the Tobias Harris move. I liked it a lot. But I did have my questions about certain parts of it, immediately being the bench. Because the bench for the Pistons was depleted from that move. Now you've got Steve Blake as your number one point guard behind Reggie Jackson. And then you don't really have much firepower outside of Stanley Johnson coming off the bench. This fixes that 100%. Marcus Thornton is a scorer. And the definition of that, he's had seasons where he's averaged more than 15 points a game. This year he's averaging 10 points for the Rockets, including a 32-point outing this season against the Brooklyn Nets that he was absolutely just sizzling for. Mm-hmm. Then you've got Donatas Montiunas, who's just a fantastic player for the Rockets. Like you said, injuries have kind of offset where I expected his career to go. But last year, he was ahead of Clint Capella in the pecking order, who is now, of course, one of the Rockets' premier big men and one of the best shot blockers in the NBA. So Donatas Montiunas, he can score, he can shoot, he can rebound pretty effectively, and he's a great passer, as many Europeans are from that big position. So between these two guys, you get a lot of offensive firepower. Not really the defense you're looking for, but, you know, coming off the bench, the Pistons have plenty of defense. They need those points in the second unit. They got them right here.
Yeah, and I'm curious to see what other moves are made in the NBA world because, of course, we are less than 2 hours away from that trade deadline expiring at 3 p.m. So we'll see. But I'm seeing here, actually, right now, this just came through, but the Cleveland Cavaliers have acquired for Channing Frye from the Orlando Magic in a three-team trade that sends Anderson Varejao to the Portland Trail Blazers and the Magic to get a second-round pick from Cleveland and Jarrett Cunningham. So there will be a lot of moves, I'm sure, made throughout this hour. We will try to keep up with the NBA free agency madness. I should say trade deadline madness that will occur as, again, it approaches at 3 p.m. Call in to be a part of the show, 517-355-9527, 517-355-9527. Let's talk, though. Of course, this is also a big day when it comes to baseball. Yesterday was the official day, I guess you can say, for MLB to open up spring training, pitchers and catchers reporting, February 17th marking the day of that. And I'm pretty excited. On tonight's Current Sports TV, you do not want to miss it, folks, because I will be sitting down with a man who is certainly a legend when it comes to mid-Michigan baseball, without a doubt. Or just baseball in the state of Michigan, to be honest with you all. His name is Jake Boss Sr. Of course, he is the father to current Michigan State head coach of the baseball team, Jake Boss Jr. And Jake Boss Sr., I mean, his ties when it comes to coaching here in Michigan, in mid-Michigan, I should say, specifically, I mean, they stem all the way back to 1973, where he was the head coach at Lansing Everett for 23 years. From there, he went on to become a scout for Major League Baseball with the Toronto Blue Jays, with the LA Dodgers. He also was a head coach at Lansing Catholic Central from 2002 to 2008. He was an assistant coach along with his son on the Michigan State men's baseball team for quite a while as well. So you do not want to miss tonight's Current Sports TV. It airs at 10:30 p.m. on WKAR-TV. We'll be getting you in the baseball mood. But let's talk Tigers, though, because I think this is an interesting year for the Detroit Tigers as, again, they look to compete for a championship. And I want to throw to a bite really briefly here because we were actually, Isaac and myself, we got the chance to head out to the new headquarters of the Lansing State Journal where the Associated Press sports meeting was taking place. And, of course, the Tigers Winter Caravan made a stop to those headquarters. And we got a chance to chat with a few players on the topic of possibly the, without a doubt, the biggest offseason signing move that the Detroit Tigers had, and that being the signing of Justin Upton. And here's what they had to say.
Well, you know, coming into the offseason, Mr. Ilitch did indicate that he wants to continue to push forward and still seeking that championship. So, you know, going into the offseason, in our first acquisition of Jordan Zimmermann, I think showed that. You know, the budget that he gave us to put together a better pitching staff or complete our pitching staff with the starters and our relievers, you know, showed that he was still committed. But at the end, what ended up happening at the end was after we made all our moves, he by his own admission, wanted to more offense. And he had been telling me that. So he pushed forward and he said, we need more offense and I want you to go out there and get one of these guys. And so that's what we did. You know, for us, we're very lucky that he has that passion and that drive. And he has the faith in us that we can put it together. And we made the recommendation that if we wanted to do it, then this is the best guy that we felt we should go after. And he gave us he told us to go after him, and we did. So we feel fortunate to be able to bring him here.
I mean, I think my reaction was the same as every Detroit Tigers fan. Like, I was excited, thrilled that he signed with us, and he's going to be a great fit on this team, and he's going to help us out tremendously.
You know, I think before it actually went official, you know, I actually spoke to him. So, you know, me and Justin, we've been friends for a while, and, you know, from about 11 years old to now, we played against each other through competition, and you know, getting a guy like that, what people don't see is the kind of work that he puts in, you know, off the field. And I had an opportunity this past spring with San Diego to just to see how serious he takes his craft. You know, there's no mistake on why he is the player he is, and he was able to, you know, sign a deal that he signed, and deservedly so, because the guy off the field is just as good as just as dedicated as he is on the field, man. And you know, it bodes well to have another leader like that. You know, I think, you know, at the professional level, you need more than one leader, and you look around this locker room and you have it. You know, you can't win with just one guy leading the team. You've got to have 25 leaders, and that's just one more leader we've added to this locker room. And you know, I'm excited. You know, you look around and you look at the lineup, you know, look around a diamond, and you know, I don't think there's a spot on the field where we don't match up as good as anybody. You know, from the lineup to the bullpen to the starters, there's a lot of good things going on right now. And, you know, we're just excited as the media and the fans are. You know, a lot of buzz, but we feel it too in the locker room. We do.
Yeah, and what you just heard was exactly bites from Al Avila, Brian Holiday, and Cameron Maben, really talking about the signing of Justin Upton. But very excited about this upcoming year for the Detroit Tigers, because they certainly have a great core of players from top to bottom when you look at the depth chart in this roster to really compete for, yet again, another year competing for a World Series. Now, sort of break this down, and I was actually a guest on Current State this morning to talk about it, kind of give, you know, our listeners a preview of what to expect from the Detroit Tigers, but I want to bring that same feel to today's show because, you know, I just want to really break down and kind of educate our listeners on how this team will look this upcoming season, because I'm getting a lot of questions on how the Tigers will look and what pieces will look to be key contributing factors this upcoming season. So first off, I want to start with the key additions for this team. And you're talking about starting pitcher Jordan Zimmermann, outfielder, of course, Justin Upton, relief pitcher Francisco Rodriguez, outfielder Cameron Maben, who you just heard, and, of course, starting pitcher Mike Pelfrey. They will all be new Tigers this upcoming year. Key subtractions for this team to note: catcher Alex Avila, outfielder Rajai Davis, and relief pitcher Joaquin Soria. Now, the bullpen. That has been a glaring problem that has held the Detroit Tigers back from a ring since I can remember. I mean, this is what's setting this team back. It's one of the glaring pieces that has been setting this team back for far too long. And last year, the Tigers actually finished 27th in Major League Baseball with an ERA of 4.38. That was last in the AL Central and second worst in the American League. Only the Oakland A's were worse. So when you look at the bullpen now, You know, you have a few returners here. Two returners I think will have solid years based on what they did last season. One being Alex Wilson. He appeared in 51 games, starting one. He finished with an ERA of 2.19. Blaine Hardy, another name to look for. He appeared in 70 games last season and had an ERA of 3.08. Now, looking back at the key additions that I just stated again, you add to this whole mix relief pitcher Francisco Rodriguez. Adding Rodriguez, I think, strengthens the bullpen, and he could be that guy to really bridge the starting pitcher to the closer in the ninth inning, the eighth or ninth inning. They're looking for a bridge guy, and I think Francisco Rodriguez can be that ideal man. Now, starting pitching, Justin Verlander, despite, you know, the preview we gave last season, Justin Verlander, he finished last season pretty strong. He led the rotation with an ERA of 3.38. Solid. The best starting pitcher that the Tigers had last season, folks. Now, on the contrary, Anibal Sanchez struggled. Completely struggled with an ERA of 4.99, almost 5. That was the worst year of his career. So now you add a guy who I dub Jay-Z, Jordan Zimmermann, to the mix. And I think I love this 1-2 punch of Justin Verlander and Jordan Zimmermann. That's going to be as good as any 1-2 punch, I think, in all of baseball, if you ask me. I think Mike Pelfrey will slide in that fourth spot on the depth chart. That's where he is right now on the depth chart, if you look at it, as it's been updated this week, actually. Anibal Sanchez sits as the number 3 starting pitcher, with Pelfrey right behind him in that fourth spot. Now, last year with Minnesota, he made 30 starts in 2015. He finished with a 6-11 record with a 4.26 ERA. Interesting stuff. Now, Daniel Norris, he played 18 games, you know, 2 seasons, 3.92 ERA and 14 starts. The big question on Daniel Norris is his command and location. Then you move to Matt Boyd. He's a guy that I think will be moved to the bullpen. He's a guy that's slated right now on the depth chart as a starting pitcher. But he's a name that has been in bullpen talks for a while. And I think this era of spring training will get to clear up that. But I think Matt Boyd will make his way to the bullpen. He needs to develop a curveball. And his command is also at question as well. The outfield, folks, this will be a pretty solid outfield for the Detroit Tigers. The addition of course, Justin Upton. He'll be playing left field. You bring in Cameron Maben. Looks as though he's going to be the center fielder, the starting center fielder. Then you have J.D. Martinez playing in right field. The outfield will be solid defensively. And the outfield will be one of the best offensive threats in the American League. All those guys can go to the plate and hit the baseball. When it comes to the lineup, You bring in Victor Martinez. He hit 282 in 38 homers and 102 RBIs. Very impressive stuff for him. James McCann, 264 with 18 doubles, 5 triples, 7 homers in 114 games in his rookie campaign. This lineup is going to be solid. The big question, though, and this is a big reason why the Tigers decided to trade during the trade deadline last season, is because they could simply not stay healthy, in addition to the other problems that were present on this squad. So, you know, position battle, one of the position battles that you can look at during spring training is maybe, you know, the position for backup catcher, a guy to back up James McCann. Jared Saltamacchia, love that last name, right? He's slated right now as possibly being the guy to back up James McCann. And how about the AL Central, though, as a conference, as a whole? I mean, the White Sox and the Indians, they're going to be better this season. And everyone in the division is, of course, still chasing the World Series champion, Kansas City Royals. So it's going to be a fun year with a solid lineup. But the Tigers must bring in closers to shut the door late in games. And they have to stay healthy. Because when you look at it now, just to give you a quick rundown of the depth chart, in left field, Justin Upton, center field, Cameron Maben, right field, you have J.D. Martinez, Jose Iglesias, your shortstop, first base, Miguel Cabrera, second base, Ian Kinsler, third base, Nick Castellanos, James McCann as your catcher, excuse me, and then you have the lineup that I just went through. So overall, Isaac, I think this has the potential to be yet another World Series possibility for this Detroit Tigers team. But again, we've sung this song many times before, specifically in the last 3 years, and we've seen what have happened. And just really going back to last season, I mean, how discouraging was that, though? I mean, they had the pieces. The pieces were there. but they could not stay healthy, and yet again, the bullpen mucked it up.
And when they were healthy, they just underperformed chronically, again and again. So for this Tigers team, it'll be about putting it all together. You and I mentioned last year, I'll never forget, it seemed like every single game that the Tigers pitched a decent match, pitched for maybe two earned runs or something like that, they'd hit for one run. Every time they'd let in nine, they'd score eight. But the Tigers just could not put it all together. The pieces were falling apart last year. So this year, I think they made the right moves. I like the fact that they didn't try to splurge and spend it all on one star player, because they already have that player in Miggy, of course. If he can stay healthy, which is a big if, but if he can, the Tigers are set in that category. But the moves for Justin Upton and Cameron Maben were huge. Solidify a starting rotation in that outfield. Not really have questions at center field or anything like that. I have no questions about JD Martinez. He avoided the sophomore slump already. And then the fact that the Tigers really did, if you ask me, shaping up that bullpen a little bit. K-Rod is a great signing, of course. A little bit older than he used to be, to say, state the obvious. But even so, that's a good signing. Mark Lowe, also solid in that bullpen. And then, like you mentioned, Mike Pelfrey, big signing for that starting rotation. And that'll let a few starters drop down into the bullpen and help them out as well.
Definitely. All right, let's hit our first break. When we come back, we will talk a little boys high school hoops. Yeah, with Eric Doc Love of the team, 92-1. All of that and so much more. Don't touch that dial. You are listening to Current Sports. Welcome back to WKAR's Current Sports. I am your host, Al Martin. I have to also bring this news to the show. The Detroit Lions continue to wait for wide receiver Calvin Johnson to make a decision about whether to retire or to return for a 10th NFL season. Lions president Rod Wood today told 105.1 FM in Detroit, our good friend Rico Beard on the Ryan and Rico show, Wood said that he doesn't have a sense of what Johnson plans on doing and that there is not a definitive timetable for the receiver to make a decision. Quote, I really don't have a sense, Wood said on the station. And if I did, I wouldn't talk about. So, you know, despite, you know, what tickles me, Isaac, is how, you know, how everyone took Adam Schefter's report about Calvin Johnson letting the Lions coaching staff know, I guess, that this will be his last season coming into the season last year. Everyone took that as like golden, like Calvin Johnson's retiring. And, you know, and I remember saying that, okay, I think we may have to just like pump our brakes a bit because this isn't, that doesn't mean, you know, Schefter's report doesn't mean that Calvin is retiring. It's just saying that he, you know, he said, hey, okay, this could possibly be my last season. This, you know, last year. So with this new, you know, with these new comments coming from Lions president Rod Wood, I mean, does that make you think that maybe there's a chance that CJ may be back for next year?
I think it makes me think that maybe CJ is not the one who fed Schefter that report, which is usually the case. Usually it's a close family member or friend, mm-hmm. but maybe someone here just jumped the gun. Like Calvin said to somebody possibly, you know, I'm probably leaning towards hanging it up. Suddenly, that becomes the news that Calvin Johnson's retiring. These things happen all the time, and you see Chris Broussard in the NBA run with these types of stories a lot. Not to call him out, but
no,
we've
does.
Seen it
he
more
does.
Than a few times. So, no, these reports happen all the time. I still think that Adam Schefter is very reputable. I trust him.
Well, you know, he did a good job because he reported the information that he got.
I mean, exactly.
Calvin probably did go to the coaching staff and say, okay, this could be my last year. So that's what he reported, but people automatically like jumped the gun and said, okay, oh, that means Calvin's not returning. No.
Yep.
Did you hear what he reported? So yeah, let's just pump the brakes here. Who knows if he's coming back? I mean, I wouldn't be surprised if he didn't, if he's already leaning towards it. Because I always go by this philosophy. If it's already in your brain, is Kastle going to be there? It's already growing roots. You know what I mean? That thought is growing roots for Calvin Johnson. He's made a lot of money, assuming that he's been smart financially with the money that he's has accrued in the NFL. So only time will tell. Folks, the phone lines are open, 517-355-9527. But you know what? While you guys are calling in, let's get to our guest for today's Current Sports. He is certainly a dear friend of the show. His name is Eric Doc Love, high school sports commentator for the team, 92.1 FM. He's going to give us a rundown of the high school basketball sporting scene. Doc, welcome to the show. How you doing?
What's going on, Al? Thanks for having me on.
Oh, it's always great having you on our airwaves, my man. Now, first off, I want to go back to Tuesday night. I know that yourself and Jesse Goldberg-Strassler, you guys did a great job of calling that East Lansing and Grand Ledge boys basketball game. I was actually at Okemos covering the Okemos and Sexton game. I certainly was at the wrong gym because that game last night on Tuesday was absolutely redonkulous. I got a chance to tune in to you guys and catch the second half call from both of you guys. You guys do an outstanding job. Just I want to get your thoughts on this East Lansing team, because that same night, Everett fell to Holt. East Lansing needed that loss, and they needed a dub against Grand Ledge to win the CAAC Blue outright. That's exactly what happened. I mean, what's your thoughts on this EL team, Doc?
Well, I appreciate the listenership there, Al. Checking in with me and Jesse Goldberg-Strassler, we appreciate
it. You know it, my man.
Hey, man, we have a great time doing those games, too. And East Lansing, they get the outright CAAC Blue title with that win and Everett loss. And the last couple of games that I've seen for the Trojans, it hasn't been easy for them this season, Al. You know, they've got a couple of lopsided victories, but for the most part, they've had to battle through some adversity. And Coach Finnemore's squad, they've found a way every single time. I saw them against Everett a couple of weeks ago, and in foul trouble, Brandon Johns had the bloody nose. He couldn't play in the second half, but other guys stepped up. They had more foul trouble on Tuesday. Weston Miles, one of their great guards, is out with a shoulder injury. He couldn't play in the ballgame, but they just find ways to win. It seems like it's one of those kind of magical seasons right now, Al.
And you know what? You know, looking at the box score from that game, I mean, Grand Ledge did a great job of sort of containing EL to a degree. I mean, defensively, what did you see from the Comets that could maybe be a formula for other teams to possibly knock off the mighty Trojans as the year moves on?
Well, they threw a lot of different looks at East Lansing. Grand Ledge, I talked to Scott Lewis, their coach, earlier in the season, and defensively, they have the junk drawer, Al. They just throw a whole bunch of stuff at you, and hopefully, you know, they'll throw some 2-3 zones, some 3-2 zones. They'll go man, they'll trap, they'll give you all sorts of different looks. And at times, just kind of it threw East Lansing off because they weren't quite sure what the Comets were going to do. And Grand Ledge, they shut down Brandon Johns. He only had 6 points in that game. The guy's averaging 21 and 10 rebounds. Now, he did get 13 rebounds, but they shut him down defensively. So they just found a way with their different variations just kind of to keep him contained. But other guys stepped up, made big plays for him.
Yeah, when I looked at that box score, if you would have told me before that game on Tuesday night that Brandon Johns was going to end up with 6 points, I mean, I would have put my money in Vegas on, of course, the East Lansing Trojans to fall to Grand Ledge.
Yeah.
I couldn't believe that Johns only had 6 points and they were still able to win. But I think, you know, other players like DeAndre Robinson, I think, didn't he have like 19 that night?
Yeah, he's back. He was in the starting lineup. He was the sixth man coming off the bench early in the year, but now he's made his way into the starting lineup. And he's been one of the hottest guys this season, and he stepped up a lot. Caleb Hoekstra, the guard, junior guard for them, have stepped up as well. And then they had to bring in Malik Jones, who was a smaller guy. He's a sophomore as well. He's been coming off the bench. He had to start because Weston Miles, their starting guard, is out with injury. So, yeah, other guys have stepped up in place. So, generally you think, if you can shut down Brandon Johns, then this team's going to lose. But they got lots of guys. They're a very deep team.
Yeah, certainly congratulations to Steve Finnemore and the CAAC Blue champion now, East Lansing Trojans. A fantastic year that they keep on trucking along here, undefeated on the year still. Again, folks, if you're just now joining us here on WKAR's Current Sports, we are chatting with Eric Doc Love, high school sports commentator for the team, 92.1 FM. Now, Doc, I want you to sort of give us a brief trip around the high school boys basketball sporting scene based on the games that you've covered and seen. I want to ask you, who are the top players that you've witnessed this season?
The top players? Oh, man, there's a bunch of good players in Michigan. Riley Lewis, the senior guard for Wayne. We're going to see him on Friday. They're going to be hosting Fowlerville. We're going to have that game on the Team 92.1 FM. But
right.
Riley Lewis, average, he's leading the Mid-Michigan area in scoring. He's averaging about 28 points a ball game. I think he had another 30-plus on Tuesday in a win for that squad. Williamson's really good, so is Riley Lewis right after him. DeWitt's got a trio of good guys. I mean, obviously they've talked. The other sophomore for them, Tanner Reha, is having a good season. Donovan Tarr and Evan Kahn. DeWitt's kind of got that trio of guys that are really good. Leslie, the Blackhawks. People don't get a lot of talk. There's not a lot of publicity for Leslie. They're kind of in between Lansing and Jackson, but they got a 6'8 senior in Dylan Pack, who's a terrific rim protector. You know, he's averaging double-double, like 15 and 12 and like 6 blocks, something like that. He's been really good this year. Waverly, Emmanuel Gildo has been very good. He's been injured a little bit as of recently for the Warriors, so he hasn't been playing as well. He's got a thumb or hand injury, something like that. Dansville's got a very good sophomore in Carter France. He's a guard. They also have a good freshman, 6'8", and Andrew Hodgson. There's a lot of good guys in the area. That's just naming off a couple of random dudes that I've seen so far this year.
Yeah, certainly a ton of great talent from around the Mid-Michigan area. And as the month winds down here, Doc, of course, the district tournament is right around the corner. I want to know just your thoughts based on the talent that you've seen from the high school boys sporting realm, I guess you can say. Mm-hmm. I want you to pick a few teams that you think legitimately have a shot at going all the way and possibly hoisting up a state championship.
Well, I mean, obviously you start with East Lansing, number one. I think they're rated, these are 4 or 5 in Class A. You know, they've been up at the top, and they've been playing really well. Williamson's got a chance, but they got to get through another tough division, a district division, because they're playing Lansing Catholic and Fowlerville. They got, you know, so there's a test right there. But Williamson's added a transfer from Charlotte and Cy Barnett. If they can get him going in the rotation, they got a chance to move on. Paloma Westphalia in Class C, Al. Mm-hmm. That team just keeps on rolling. They haven't lost since week one of the season.
Oh, wow.
I think they're like 15-1, 16-1, something like that. So they've been handling business. PW's got a chance in Class C. Fulton's pretty good in Class D as well. They made all the way to the semifinals last year. There's a potential second-round matchup in the districts in Class A, and East Lansing Waverly play each other in the first round. Those are two really good teams. The second round matchup would be the winner of that would play DeWitt. So whoever can get through that, district has got a pretty good chance. Remember last year when it was Everett and East Lansing and Grand Ledge, they're all in that same district. It's kind of set up the same again.
Exactly. Now, you know, and a question for you, Doc. I mean, how does that happen? I mean, who is in charge of really setting up, you know, that those very first few rounds? Because I don't know if I like that, because a lot of those good teams, I mean, you get great matchups early on, but I mean, I would love to see those matchups as the tournament moved on deeper, you know?
Yeah, I went back to football season was the same way, where you had all these teams that were ranked in the top 10 playing in the same district. You had like Portland and Lansing Catholic and Stockbridge and all these teams in the same one. It's the MHSAA. So they come up with the rank, you know, the districts and all that stuff, playoff stuff ahead of time. And it's just kind of random draws as to who gets like a bye and who gets to play in the first round.
Right.
And so it's kind of because in that Class A one that's happening in East Lansing, first round is Hazlitt versus Grand Ledge and East Lansing versus Waverly. And then Eastern and DeWitt get the byes in that one. So it's not based on records. It's just kind of based on where you are in the area. So they try to keep it pretty close.
Right.
You get those kind of districts where it's like that, and you're like, oh, you know, you don't want to see DeWitt and East Lansing or Waverly go out so early, but somebody's got to lose. That's how they set it up.
Exactly. That's just the way the cookie crumbles, I guess. And I can't believe that we are now just, 10 days away from girls' district action. Their district tournament gets underway on February 28th, while the boys will officially tip off on March 7th. It's that time of the year. Gotta love it. Basketball certainly in the air. Now, you know, for you, Doc, I mean, what do you think is the best conference here in Mid-Michigan?
Oh, man, that's a tough one, Al. I mean, there's great teams in every single one. You know, CMAC has been very tough. The top two, three, four teams, anybody can win. It's kind of like that everywhere. CAAC Blue maybe gets the most attention, and they more than likely it would probably be the top one. But, I mean, CAAC Red with the DeWitt and Waverly and Hazlett are pretty good. CAAC White is a battle that's, you know, that's a one-game battle right now. Mm-hmm. Between Williamston, Lansing Catholic, and Fowlerville. So, I mean, you can't really pick one conference, Al. They all have great teams in them.
Very, very tough, right? And I got to ask you, Doc, you know, what I find particularly intriguing about the high school basketball season is that no matter what happens in the regular season, I was actually chatting with Okemos High School boys basketball coach Jeff Wanch about this after their matchup and win against Lansing Sexton. But no matter what happens in the regular season, every team at the end of the year gets a shot to possibly move on and grab that pot of gold at the end of the rainbow, so to speak, okay? Everyone gets a shot in the postseason. Do you like that when it comes to high school basketball? Excuse me.
Oh, absolutely, man. And it's been kind of like college basketball this year. You know, it seems like the top five teams are always losing. It doesn't really matter. But, you know,
right.
It's what it can win. It's the same way in the playoffs for high school basketball. You know, Dansville, the Aggies last season struggled. They didn't win a whole lot of games last year, but they won a district. And it was the first district they had won in like 16 years or something like that.
Mm-hmm.
So, I mean, anybody can find a way and win. Fowlerville knocked off Lansing Catholic in the district round last year. We know with Tony Poljan and the Cougars, they got a very good team last year and this year. So anybody can get you anytime in the playoffs, Al.
Gotta love that. Again, we are chatting with Eric Doc Love, high school sports commentator for the team, 92.1 FM. All right, Doc, I want to know, what are your nominees so far? I know it's early in the week, and you just mentioned how you guys will be covering another game on Friday night. Again, you guys do a great job, yourself along with Jesse Goldberg-Strassler, when it comes to the pep rally, which can be heard every Saturday morning. And I want to know, do you have some early nominees for He Had a Good Week? I love that segment. Love that segment.
Oh, thanks. Yeah, hashtag he had a good week. We do it every Saturday at 9 a.m. on the team, running to win the pep rally with Jesse and I. And, you know, Riley Lewis with his 30-plus points earlier in the week, that was a good one. We saw, you know, DeAndre Robinson have a great game for East Lansing on Tuesday as well. I mean, there's always guys popping up. Those probably the two early ones right now. Dylan Patton had a pretty good game for Leslie. We saw them on Monday too, so it's early out. It's only Thursday. I gotta wait till the games are done tomorrow before I can actually start looking at hashtag he had a good week picks.
And how does that work now? So do you guys do this based on votes from your listeners? I mean, whoever gets the most votes with their name next to the hashtag he had a good week, is that how it's tallied, or do you just pick?
Well, I come up with a list Friday night after all the games are done, and you know, I get ready for the show on Saturday. But I encourage people to tweet in to me at DocLove921 and use the hashtag. Now, of course, we do take listener submissions, and we will take those into effect. But generally, I have those guys on the list already. But
right.
Every once in a while, somebody pops up. But I encourage people to tweet in to me and Jesse and give us their picks. We will take their suggestions under ear.
Gotta love that. All right. Again, Doc, remind folks what game you guys will be at on Friday night.
We're doing CAAC White Division. We got Fowlerville Gladiators at Williamson Hornets. Williamson 2-1 right now, but Fowlerville at 6-2. So the Gladiators of Fowlerville can get a win. They're right up in there with that CAAC White, man. It's not over with. Season ain't over.
No, it's not. We still have a lot of basketball left to play. And we love listening to you on the team, 92.1, Doc. You and Jesse do an outstanding job. Again, Eric Doc Love, high school sports commentator for the team, 92.1 FM. Doc, thanks so much for your time this afternoon. You have a good one, all right?
Hey, thanks, Al, man. I appreciate it. You have a good one, too.
All right, let's hit our second break. When we come back, we will put a bow on today's current sports bag, bringing you, of course, Throwback Thursday and 2 minutes for roughing with the one, the only, Jason Ruff. Don't touch that dial. You are listening to Current Sports. Welcome back to WKAR's Current Sports. Just under 10 minutes left here in the show. If you are aching still to be a part of our airwaves, just simply call in right now, 517-355-9527, 517-355-9527. But hey, the man has just walked in the studio. We've got Jason Ruff to talk a little bit of hockey for us. It's called 2 Minutes for Roughing with the one, the only, Jason Ruff.
Detroit penalty number 52, 2 minutes for roughing.
Oh my God. That's unbelievable.
All right, it is time to talk hockey. We are on the ice with the man, the myth, the legend, Jason Ruff. Jason, welcome to the show. First off, how you doing?
There we go. Now we're going.
Okay, we're good.
We're doing good. How are we doing?
I'm doing fantastic. Happy Thursday, brother.
Thursday.
I can't believe it's already Thursday right now. But all right. So what do you got in store for us to sort of give us a recap of the local hockey world?
We got a lot of stuff. We may have to extend this penalty to a 5-minute major here. But first off, leading off this one just breaking today, the Flint Firebirds owner, Rolf Nielsen, has been suspended by the commissioner of the Ontario Hockey League. And Al, this is just crazy. Not only is he suspended, but also several of his associates have been suspended until further notice. So basically just go away, don't come back, we'll call you when we want you back. Mm-hmm. Player counseling will be made available to the members of the Firebirds, and the OHL will continue to investigate the situation and level any sanctions it deems necessary at their conclusion. Flint's not out of this yet.
So this is the owner that
this
just
has
been suspended because, you know, we talked about in our Quick Hit Headliners how for the second time this season, the Flint Firebirds actually fired head coach John Gruden and assistant Dave Karpa for the second time. I can't believe that, you know, because it occurred back in November. And I remember we had Ryan Slocum here on the show, who was a reporter out for, he's a sports reporter and anchor for ABC 12 out there. And he just talked about just this really crazy story. Why do you think they handed down the suspension for the owner?
I think it's just because the OHL feels this guy has no clue what he's doing. Because supposedly the reason for the first firing, it was after a win. Mm-hmm. The supposed reason for the first firing was the owner's son wasn't getting enough ice time, which is the most petty excuse I've ever heard in my life. The players basically pulled a Rudy and handed in their jerseys and said they weren't going to play until the coaches were reinstated. Coaches get reinstated, and they're given a 3-year extension. Everybody's happy. Fast forward to yesterday, after a loss, the coach again fires the coaches, this time for standing-related issues. The Firebirds are 16-31-4, and I heard this from somewhere. This isn't confirmed, but I heard this from somewhere that the owner maybe felt that his team had a chance to make the playoffs. You're 16-31-4. You're not making the playoffs. You don't deserve to make the playoffs at 16-31-4.
Right. Yeah. Very, very true. That's a crazy story. Well, thank you for bringing that to us, Jason. Also, you were on the call this past weekend for the Big Ten Network. Were you play-by-play, I think?
Play-by-play.
You were play-by-play for the Michigan State and Penn State series. What took place this past weekend, Jason?
Well, first night, Friday night, it was not pretty for Michigan State. They got manhandled and owned in every single facet of the game. Penn State skated off to a 6-1 victory, Al. 2 goals in the first, 2 goals in the second, 2 goals in the third, 1 goal for Michigan State in the second period. However, Michigan State fought back. They had a better night on Saturday, fought to a 2-2 tie, lost in the shootout to Penn State. Nittany Lions only grabbed 5 points, but another team who only grabbed 5 points
was the Michigan Wolverines. Again, dominating victory against the Badgers on Friday. Iffy game on Saturday. End up with a tie and a shootout win. Only 5 points. Al, I think that five-point weekend is going to come back to haunt him.
You think so?
I think so. You look at the Big Ten standings. Minnesota got a full six-point sweep. To give you a little bit of a backstory here, in the Big Ten, you play two games a weekend. Every game is worth 6 points. You get 6 points for a win or overtime win, 2 points for a shootout win, and 1 point for a shootout loss. Mm-hmm. So Minnesota got 6 points last weekend. Michigan and Penn State got five each. The standings, the top three standings as it stands right now, Minnesota with 33, Michigan with 32, Penn State with 26. Look at who they have left. Minnesota, you're looking on your screen, mm-hmm. has a series at home against Michigan this weekend. Or wow. No, next weekend.
So they play each other. The two top teams in the Big Ten, Minnesota and Michigan, they play each other this upcoming weekend.
Either this upcoming, I think it's next weekend,
okay,
actually.
Okay, we'll check on that.
We'll check on that.
And they're a point away from each other right now.
And they're a point away. But also, look who Minnesota has after that. Michigan State and Wisconsin, two of the bottom teams of the Big Ten. They're expected to take all 12 points out of those four games. And Michigan, look at their schedule. They got to go on the road to Minnesota. And then they got two home weekends against Ohio State and Penn State, teams who have played them really tough.
Right.
None of those are guaranteed weekends.
So basically, if Minnesota gets over the hump against U of M, they can pretty much coast to a Big Ten championship.
Their third straight Big Ten regular season championship.
Impressive stuff. Well, Jason, we're out of time, but fantastic stuff. Pub yourself, my man. How can people follow you on Twitter? How can people listen to you on the Big Ten Network?
At Jason, Twitter, at Jason_R_Ruff. You want to follow me around, Big Ten hockey, college hockey, all that good stuff. Facebook, Jason Ruff as well. Also, anything Big Ten Network, Student U does with hockey, I'm the guy. We're also going to be doing baseball as well.
Yeah,
so
baseball
we'll be
right
up
around
there
the corner.
As well.
Looking forward to that. Jason Ruff, he does a great job, folks. All right, well, let's end this Thursday edition of Current Sports like we always do. Here is Throwback Thursday.
But the Detroit Pistons have just shocked the Los Angeles Lakers.
Wing, there's a drive to left. That one is long.
Eisenman back over his step. Into the slot for Brown. Shoots. Yes. And there it goes. You never know when to expect it. Darren McCarty said before.
All right, it is time for Throwback Thursday, where we take a look at what happened on this particular date in sports history. Today is February 18th, and on this day, back in 1965, the great Frank Gifford announced his retirement from football for a career in broadcasting. If you've never heard Frank Gifford announce, oh, you are missing out. Hit YouTube as soon as 2 o'clock hits, all right? 1983, the Indiana Pacers began a 28-game road losing streak. That's ugly. 1984, Bill Bradley had his New York Knickerbocker number 24 retired at the Madison Square Garden. At the Garden, folks. Bill Bradley, a legend. 1984, the 4 millionth NBA point was scored. That's a lot of points right
wow.
there.
Back Bill in Bradley 1984. Contributed his fair share, too. You know that.
Without a doubt, right? A few more here, Isaac. 1984, Reed Larson of the Detroit Red Wings became the highest-scoring American-born player in NHL history. He passed Tom Williams when he got his 432nd point. 1995, John Stockton of the Utah Jazz became the first player to register 10,000 assists. 1995, the same day, actually, Deion Sanders was a guest on SNL, Saturday Night Live, and in 2001. NASCAR driver Dale Earnhardt Sr. was killed in a crash during the Daytona 500 race. Rest in peace, Dale Earnhardt Jr., folks. And I believe the Daytona 500 takes place this weekend, right, Isaac?
Yes, it does.
Wow. All right. We ended on a heavy heart. But, hey, thanks so much to all of you out there for tuning in to today's Current Sports with me, Al Martin, right here on WKAR AM 870 East Lansing. Much thanks to Jason Ruff, Isaac Constance, Eric Doc Love, and all of you out there for tuning in and listening. Take care. Have one fantastic day. And also, I can't forget Connor Hayes. Much shout out to him. Be easy, people.